This morning, we're thinking about God's resolution, and our Old Testament reading is found in Genesis, the 9th chapter, verses 8 through 17. It is the story, the ending of the story of Noah, when God gives Noah the promise. Chapter 9, verse 8 and following. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you. The birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between you and me and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, again, we're looking at God's resolution this morning. Now, I don't know how many out there are New Year's resolution people. Anybody? You kind of do the goals thing a little bit out there. So, and some people just go like, I've given up on goals and resolutions. But for me, and also for Savannah, after Christmas sort of subsides, and I sort of revisit Thanksgiving and thank God for the blessings of the year. And I think of all the things that God has blessed me with and the things I have to be thankful for. And then I set sort of my eyes on what the goals for the next year will be. And then I also use that to do my New Year's resolutions. So for some of us, you know, we're a little afraid of New Year's resolutions for not keeping them. But do you know what the three most common New Year's resolutions are? But can you just guess for a second what you think they would be? Yeah, lose weight, okay, because especially we just came through Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're awfully close, all right, and to save more money and to improve a relationship, okay? But here's three of the most humorous of New Year's resolutions, if you didn't get those. So the first thing is to remember last year's New Year's resolution, okay? The second thing is to have a more productive year than Congress, often not difficult. All right, and the third thing is to reduce your stress by not being around people who remind you of your New Year's resolution, okay? So three of the more humorous ones. Now, and I'm a believer in New Year's resolutions and goals, so three of mine were, and they're not completely new, but to raise the bar on my culinary skills. That's not hard to raise the bar there. And so I did do a pork roast for New Year's Eve, sort of a Pennsylvania tradition. And then this afternoon, I promised Savannah for the one of the playoff games that we'd make homemade wings, chicken wings, and pigs in a blanket and a couple other things. So we'll see how that goes. And, of course, to spend more quality time with Savannah. So those are three of mine. There's some other ones. But when we think about New Year's, we often think about promise keeping. And as Christians, I think promise keeping is important. But this morning, I don't want to think about the promises and resolutions that we make. I want to think about the promise, the resolution that God made. And I think when we revisit this story of Noah and the rainbow, I think there's some important truths for us in our new year. And so I invite you to walk back with me into this story. And so the story, as you may recall, was Noah was way up in years, and God comes to Noah and commands him to build an ark, that there's a flood coming. In fact, God looks around at humanity, we're told, and saw the wickedness and the hatred and the injustice and said, we need a whole new start. And so Noah's commanded to build this ark. And can you imagine this ark? Now, some people have been down to the ark, the life-size ark model in Kentucky. Anyone been there? I plan on going, but we've got some people in the congregation who have gone and really said it's really impressive and it's amazing. What's even more amazing, besides this huge model, which I guess it can contain all these animals, all these different species, is that Noah did it without power tools, okay? And, you know, that's pretty amazing, okay? So this incredible ark. Now, building the ark probably wasn't the most difficult thing. The most difficult thing could have been all the neighbors making fun of him and maybe even his family. Maybe even his spouse, okay? So Noah is building this ark. We're told it took a very, very long time. But then one day the rains began to fall. Now, we're told that God invited all of humanity to be repentant and to come before him and to come into the ark, but only Noah's family came. We're also told that God had two of every creature come into the ark, so that God cares about animals. And, of course, the door was closed, and the rains continued to come down, and the ark floated, and we're told the rains continued for 40 days and for 40 nights. Can you imagine? And so there was a flood, and then after this flood, the rain stopped, and then over time, the waters began to recede until finally we're told that the ark came to rest on this mountaintop. And there's people today who say, well, you know, it's probably over in Turkey, what have you. I know there's a lot of politics involved in that. So maybe it's there, maybe it's not there, we don't know. But the ark came to rest, and after the waters receded, then Noah looked out, and he sent a bird out. Well, the bird came back. He just wanted to see if there was a place to light for the bird. And then he sent a dove out, or brought back an olive branch. And then finally, the bird did not return it. So he knew it was time to leave. And so he goes out. And, of course, you can imagine that it's sort of a whole fresh start, a new beginning. And God speaks to him in that moment. Now, all of us, you know, a new year is a new beginning, is it not? And many of us look at a new beginning, and it may be following an adverse time moment in life. Well, maybe it's not a flood, but maybe it's a complete financial difficulty, or maybe it's the loss of a loved one, or maybe it's a sudden turn in a job that we didn't expect, and it looks like a whole new beginning or a complete change in a relationship. And so we look out at a new beginning, and we wonder to ourselves, is God with me, or is God against me? And I think this story speaks into that moment, and so as Noah comes out of the ark, there's a special moment that we're told about. And Noah goes out there, and he hears God whisper to him. God says, look into the sky. And Noah sees this beautiful rainbow. And God says, I want you to know that this will never happen again, that I'm for you, not against you. And no matter what happens, and the story of salvation continues to unfold until Christ comes and takes our sins and our shortcomings on his shoulders on the cross, gave his life that we would know forgiveness and God's grace, and then was raised to new life that we would know and hold on to the promise of the resurrection. But I want to just pause for a moment and look at this moment as Noah looks out there and he looks at this rainbow and hear God's promise again. Because, you know, today, a lot of times when we hear promises, we think of all the shortcomings of promises, right? If you've been around for a while, some of you have been around longer than me, but I do remember when you could do a deal with a handshake. All right. Do you remember that? You may have heard about it at least, but how many people do a deal with a handshake today? People might do a deal with a handshake and they're like, you know, we need to sign something, don't we? And I think the reason for that is because we all know so many times when promises have been broken, when promises have fallen short. Even in warranties, we're sort of looking for the fine print in the promise. Anyone ever have a warranty that didn't turn out to be the way you thought it might be? Anyone? For me, you know, I think most of us, for me, just one of many, I, of course, have a smartphone, and you like it to be pretty smart, but anyway, I bought the extra warranty for my iPhone, I'll go ahead and say it, because I still have an iPhone, but I don't have that model, because, you know, something could happen to that phone, and they're pretty expensive, and so I, after the regular warranty had expired, I had some problems with my iPhone, and so I took it into the store, and I asked them to repair it. And I told them I had the extra warranty, and they told me it could not be repaired. And that, and I said, well, I have the warranty. I'm so glad that I bought that warranty. And so they said, oh, it's great that you have the warranty. So here's what you need to do. You need to box this up. We'll mail it into the manufacturer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, they'll mail you another one. And I said, you don't understand. This is my only phone. I live by this phone. Isn't there any way we could speed it up to at least make it like overnight? You know, like overnight one way, overnight the other way? No. You gotta, it's like a 2 week deal. They gotta analyze this phone and whatever. And I said, you know, that's completely worthless to me because I need the phone. So she said, I'm sorry, you can buy a new one. So I did, but I never bought the other warranty again. So maybe you've had a moment where you sort of looked at the fine print, the little asterisks at the bottom, and wonder, is this promise really true? And I think when we think sometimes of God, we think, well, are God's promises really true to me? After I've been through a difficult chapter, is God with me? In this new year, is that rainbow of promise there? And we struggle with that. We wonder, is God for us or is God against us? I remember, I don't know if you watched the Rose Bowl. That's part of my New Year's tradition as well. Maybe you watch the parade if you're not a football fan. It's amazing. I like both things. So it's part of my New Year's tradition to watch the Rose Bowl parade and the Rose Bowl. Another great game this year. The Big Ten won that. But if you're a football trivia person or a Rose Bowl trivia person, you may recall that back in 1929 at the Rose Bowl, there was a very unusual incident. And so it was Southern California against Georgia Tech. There was a player by the name of Roy Riggles. And Roy Riggles is said to be just one of the brightest football players ever. Had a lot of awards going into that game. But early in the game, he was playing center, and there was a fumble. And Roy Riggles recovered the fumble. Somehow he got turned around, and he ran towards the opposite end zone of the other team. The quarterback chased him down and tackled him on the one-yard line, and the quarterback got into the huddle next time and said, "Roy, are you for us or against us?" It made the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. Well, the next play, they tried to punt, and it was a touchback, and so the other team got 2 points. Roy Riggles went on to be a motivational speaker, and he went on to say, oftentimes we can learn more from our failures and shortcomings than we can from our success. And it was a lesson that rang true to a lot of people. But this morning, you might want to look up to God and say in a new year, "God, are you for me or against me?" And I think this story of Noah and this story of the rainbow reminds us that God is for us, not against us. It doesn't mean that we'll never face some adversity and difficulties, some trials and temptation, but what it does, it underscores that God is always for us and that God gives us promise coming into the new year. So whatever promises that you've made in new year, then hear the promises of God, because I think they're very special, and that God is one who keeps his promises. I'm reminded of the story of Simeon and Anna just following that first Christmas when Jesus was born. And so 8 days after, you may recall, Mary and Joseph take little baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. It was just a short, about 10 miles away. And so they went to the temple. They wouldn't have been anywhere close if they had been in Nazareth. So they were able to do that. And while they were there, the most incredible thing happened. God had promised both Simeon and Anna, these two older people who are completely separate, but God had promised each of them that they would see the Messiah before they passed away. And they had been clinging to that promise. And then that day in the temple, they saw the baby Jesus, and the Holy Spirit whispered to them that this was the Messiah. And so each of them, Simeon came up to Jesus and spoke a prophecy and prayed a blessing. And then afterwards, Anna came up and spoke a prophecy as well. That had to be a moment of assurance to Mary and Joseph, who would face a lot of difficulties in life. But that was a moment to assure Mary and Joseph that God was with them. But it also reminds us, when God spoke to Simeon and Anna, that God keeps his promises. And I think that God keeps his promises to us today. And so in this new year, when you're facing a new year, and you've made some promises, and you've set some goals, and you've made some resolutions, know this, that it doesn't just depend on you. The most important resolution is not our resolution, but God's resolution. The most important promise is not our promise, but God's promise to us, that God will be with us. One of my favorite promises is this one from Joshua 1:9. It says this, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And another favorite one is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I don't know if you saw the Clemson game, of course, against Alabama. I know we're so tired of those teams winning all that, but I'm reminded of the speech that Dabo Sweeney gave to the news media afterward. He just said a moment, and as he took that trophy and he hoisted up for the national championship, he also said, "I want to thank the Lord Jesus who is with me." And afterwards, there was a reporter that asked him about him sharing his faith and asked him to say a little bit more about it. And he said, "Well, the life of a coach has a lot of ups and downs, and I don't know what I'd do without my faith and my peace in Jesus Christ, and he's there with me." And he shared this promise, again, that I just read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I remember that when Dabo Sweeney first took that coaching job at Clemson, that first year that Clemson was horribly defeated by their sort of their arch foe of that time, which was South Carolina. And as he was driving back to his home, he was wondering if he was going to lose his job. And he was wondering if they had to sell his house. And just all these things were going through his mind, but he was able to hold on to his faith. And was a blessing because as he came home, there was the athletic director in the driveway, and the athletic director came up to him, and Dabo Sweeney took this big breath thinking that he might be fired, and the athletic director said, you know, you're just the person we want for this job. And so he felt so good about that, but he was saying how that his faith through it all, you know, the bad times and the good times, that God has been there. And so as you face a new year, I want just to remind you, not just when you see a rainbow, but certainly when you see a rainbow, that God is for you, not against you. And I'm reminded of something about a rainbow, which is this. You can't have a rainbow without light and dark. You need the dark, stormy clouds and the water that's in there, and then the light on the other side. And so it's those unique circumstances that create a rainbow. And the most beautiful rainbows are those with the really dark sky on the one side and the bright sky on the other. And so as we think about the promises that come to us, it doesn't mean that things won't happen that aren't difficulty. Adversities won't touch our life. But amid the darkness, that God will be there with us, that God is there with His promise and His love. If I just close with this thought. I was going through a particularly difficult time in my life. And my mother had come up from Florida to be with me. And so we were driving, and it was a really, really bad storm. And all of a sudden, the storm just sort of stopped. And there was this beautiful double rainbow. And so on the one side of the sky, there was dark clouds. On the other side, there was this double rainbow. And my mother said, look, there's a rainbow, a double rainbow. God wants you to know that everything will be okay, that God's love is with you and God's protection is with you. And so at the beginning of a new year, whatever your promises are and whatever the future lays ahead, whatever is behind you, know this, that God is with you, that God's love and God's blessing, and that God's promise is the most important promise. And the one who makes the promise on the other side of the rainbow is the one who will keep it. And you can trust God's promise. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we begin a new year and we think about the promises that we have made, we pray that most of all we'd lay those at your feet and know that you've made a promise to us, that you love us, that you care for us, and that you will see us through whatever comes our way. So help us to lean into your strength, help us to trust your promises, and with all that to forge ahead, knowing that your grace will see us through. And all God's people said, Amen.